And welcome to the STEM Corner podcast. Today's episode is going to highlight the importance of women engineers and the impact women are making in the world of engineering. To celebrate International Women in Engineering Day, I am thrilled to be speaking with Dr. Shalini Sharma, a staff development engineer at JSR Micro, and Amy Leung, the chief marketing officer at FormFactor. Hello, ladies, and welcome.
Hi, thank you so much, Oindri, for having me here. Looking forward to talking to you and with Amy.
Same here. Thank you for having me here today.
Dr. Sharma, tell us a bit about JSR Micro and your role within the company.
Sure. So I work as a staff engineer in JSR Micro, which is a semiconductor materials company in Silicon Valley. And my company is a provider of cutting-edge electronic materials, particularly lithography materials and cleans materials, to world's leading chip manufacturers, for example, Intel, IBM, GlobalFoundry, Micron, etc.
And what does a typical day as a staff development engineer look like?
So, as I mentioned, I am in lithography, research and development group. So we work very closely with our customers towards solving their materials needs. And as I mentioned, we are developing next generation materials for our customers. So my job is to make the, next best material for our customer. So to make these materials, I have to run a lot of experiments, gather data, analyze it, and think about how can I refine my experiment so that the material that I'm trying to develop meets customer spec. So towards that, I run a series of experiments called as design of experiments, or in short, DOEs. And there is a very able technical staff in JSR Micro who supports me in gathering experimental data in a clean room facility. Perhaps you're aware of a clean room facility where you have to, bunny up, you have to wear a mask, and basically you want to make sure the particle levels are very low in that environment because particles are not good for chip manufacturing. Mm-hmm. They can interfere with chip performance. So there is a technical staff in our group that helps me procure the data in the clean room. So there's a lot of wafer data that I get to analyze. And when I analyze the wafer data, so in a typical day, I'm either evaluating past results or I'm coming up with new experiments that I need to run to develop materials for our customers. So there are a lot of meetings. And in between the meetings, I get to think and analyze results. Mm-hmm.
And Amy, I'm so glad to have you here as well. Tell us a bit about FormFactor and your position as a CMO.
Thank you. FormFactor is a world-leading supplier of test and measurement equipment for semiconductor companies. Similar to Shalini's company, we're headquartered in Bay Area, Silicon Valley, and our customers are these world-leading semiconductor chip companies like Intel, TSMC, and also include a variety of leading-edge research institutions and universities. My role at FormFactor has twofold. One is in chief marketing officer role. I'm responsible for our corporate strategy, development, and marketing communications. And my second role is the general manager of emerging growth business unit. My background is in engineering. I studied chemical engineering and material science by training. And after college, my first job is lithographic engineer at the semiconductor fab and used the GSR material. Years later, I transitioned into more business type of role into product marketing and business management. And I got my master's degree while I was working full time.
Oh, wow. All right. So far I've learned that JSR Micro manufactures and supplies semiconductor devices and energy material solutions. So as a staff development engineer, Shalini, what would you say is the most exciting part about your job?
So for me, the most exciting part for the job is to be at the forefront of technology innovation that enables solutions for our customers. And, you know, realizing that the work we do every day enables release of the next Apple smartphone, you know, next powerful PC, next powerful computer, autonomous cars. It's a very deeply satisfying, you know, feeling to be at the forefront of, as I said, technology innovation. So that's the most exciting part of my job, which is, you know, solving problems for our customers.
Mm-hmm. And Amy, the same question goes to you. Being a CMO must keep you pretty busy. So what is your favorite part as a chief marketing officer?
My favorite part is has always been talking to our customers, whether it's a corporate strategy setting or deciding what kind of product or technology we should invest to develop, listening to customers, to have customers be our guide to lead us into develop the right product to enable their roadmap is always a very fun, interesting part of my job. As mentioned earlier, our customers ranging from lab, could be universities, to the fab, these high-end semiconductor manufacturing. It's always been my best part of the day, talk to them to learn about their latest technology innovations, what kind of tests and measurement challenges they have, and how we can work together to collaborate a solution to enable their roadmap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now answering my own question. So I do not have a job yet. I'm currently a high schooler, but networking and constantly meeting new people has been the best part about running my podcast. And I love that each person I talk to and each speaker I have has, you know, a new perspective on technology and the future. And this like continues to inspire me, and it helps keep me going, especially when I face challenges myself. All right, so the next question is one that I've been super interested to hear about. What inspired you to pursue engineering, Shalini? And when was the moment that you knew you wanted to become an engineer?
Mm-hmm. So to tell you a little bit of background about myself, I have a PhD in chemistry and material science. So my PhD is in physical sciences, not necessarily in engineering discipline. However, currently, or for the last 13 years, I work as an engineer in a semiconductor company. So I grew up in India, and I was in India until my bachelor's, and I came to United States to do higher studies. And I chose sciences as my discipline starting in 11th grade, which is a sophomore here, I think, in United States.
Junior.
Yeah. So that happened. There were a couple of reasons, actually. In my family, particularly my uncle, who is my mom's brother, he was a professor of physics in Indian Institute of Technology, which is, you know, equivalent of MIT or Harvard in India. And also, as a matter of fact, I grew up in IIT campus because my father used to work in IIT as well. So I grew up being surrounded by professors and engineers. And I remember, you know, my father used to take me to the library in IIT, and I would see, you know, people devouring themselves into these encyclopedia thick, you know, books. And the devotion, I would even say the devotion with which they studied and, you know, was fascinating to me. And I happened to have done well in sciences myself until 10th grade. I scored high in math, I scored high in science. And so I thought I should, you know, follow my skills, I should follow my natural talent and pursue sciences and engineering. So that was my motivation. And the other reason, other big reason was a cause and effect relationship, which I saw in the natural world, right? So actually I chose chemistry as my major later on, because it was fascinating. When I was doing chemistry experiments, for example, in the lab, I could instantly see, you know, if you mix A and B, this is what happens, you know. It's a science which is not like hidden behind anything, right? It's right in front of you. So this direct cause and effect manifestation in real time, I think was very fascinating for me. So yeah, these are the reasons I chose to pursue engineering.
Wow, that's a wonderful story. I also know about IIT because my parents are from India. So they have always spoke great things about, you know, the Indian Institute of Technologies. So it was great hearing from you.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, I got my master's degree from IIT before coming to US.
Oh, wow.
So I was fortunate to have had a chance to, you know, attend IIT as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, go ahead.
Yeah. And Amy, what inspired you to pursue engineering?
This is actually a little bit similar story. I think it's really a combination of personal interest and also the reality of being first generation immigrant. I grew up always liked math and science, so I'm naturally inclined to STEM field, right? Mm-hmm. My family moved to United States from China when I was a junior in high school. As a first generation immigrant, it's actually pretty natural to think about, okay, what kind of job or field should I really go into to make sure that I have a job, high chance to get a job out of school. So engineering was a pretty natural fit for me. And I studied chemical engineering from Berkeley, but I chose chemical engineering because at the time, chemical engineering had the highest paid salary out of school, right? So from that sense, it's more of an out of necessity as well as interest. I think I really fell in love with engineering actually when I started working as an engineer. My first job out of school was a photolithography engineer at IBM. And just how pragmatic way to, as an engineer, to solve a problem, right? It's not modeling. You have certain sense how to solve a problem, but the empirical nature, the practical approach to find the solution, and oftentimes the problem statement is not so obvious. I think it's really that experience was really fascinating. I just absolutely love being an engineer. And even though now I'm more in the business management side, but lots of the problem solving still stems through the engineering discipline. And it's absolutely fascinating to work as an engineer early in my career.
Yeah. I just noticed that the two of you seem to have so much in common.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I would like to share a bit of my own reasons for wanting to become an engineer. So as a high schooler, I want to develop solutions to real world problems. And I want to be this, you know, this entrepreneur that makes her own ideas come to life. But I realized that I wasn't always like this. So when I was a freshman in high school, so ninth grade, my father, he got this flyer about a STEM workshop by this nonprofit, Semi High Tech U. And this flyer was actually, it was sent out by Form Factor. So when my dad, gave me the link to register, I felt like joining this workshop would not be the best use of my time. especially because I had to skip 3 days of school in order to join it. And skipping high school is stressful because you have, you know, a lot of work to catch up on. But when I attended this workshop, I realized that my life at school is like this tiny compared to the outside world, and that there are so many opportunities outside in STEM, and there's so many types of engineers that are needed. And that was kind of the moment I knew that engineering would be a great fit for me. So I started to become, you know, an active volunteer for a SEMI. And then I met this incredible group of people that believed in me. And that is what led to this podcast. Yeah.
Wow, that's an inspiring story, Audrey.
Yeah. And since the two of you are engineers, both of you most likely have experienced challenges, but also successes at work. So Shalini, what has been or what is your most rewarding experience as an engineer?
Yeah, I have to say the most rewarding experience is solving hard problems. I think I remember there was a project a couple of years ago that our customer was really struggling with, and it needed kind of a multifaceted approach to problem solving. And without going into, you know, too much details, but where I feel I made the most significant contribution was thinking out of the box and thinking of how we can avail. So there were some experiments that needed to be done, which we lagged in our own facility. But then with some, I reached out to my network and I was able to find out a facility which could support us collecting that data that we were lacking, and that was instrumental in us developing the set of materials that our customers were looking for. So that was very satisfying because it needed out of box thinking. It needed me to you know, go back to my Rolodex, look at my contacts, people I have met at conferences, right? And I remember a meeting this person from this company who I thought could have that tool that I was looking for. So I think these examples from the past, where I feel not only an engineering mindset of, you know, solving physical science problem, but also to reach out to contacts, to think wide and deep, can help you, you know, reach your solution. So for sure, solving hard problems is the most rewarding aspect. Juggling multiple projects, meeting timelines, time prioritization, timeline management, prioritizations, all those are deeply rewarding. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and Amy, what do you think is most rewarding as an engineer?
I spent most of my career in product marketing, which is responsible for bringing a technical product to the marketplace. So it's really So I had the opportunity to work with both engineering team who's physically developing the product, as well as our customers, to ensure the product that we develop actually solve their problem. So the most rewarding part is really being in the middle of this, define the product definition to make sure that we're solving the right problem, and also ultimately to commercialize the product to enable customers' roadmap, as well as generating profit for the company while reducing cost of test for our customers. And I think the process is very complicated because oftentimes the problem statement is not as well defined. So we always, the problem solving is very similar to the most fundamental of engineering training we learned in school. We're really define the scope of the problem and keep the team focused, and also constantly remind ourselves that what is the end target, what is the commercial target, what is the solution target. The most elegant technical solution, not necessarily the most elegant commercial solution. So you really have to look at this from a balanced viewpoint to decide when do I need to deliver the product to solve the problem, and what is the right approach to balance out the commercial and technical aspect? I find that's a really interesting part of my job as a product marketing.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And conversely, what has been your most challenging experience as an engineer? Because being an engineer is a tough job. So there are definitely many rewarding experiences, but there are also challenges. So, Shalini?
Sure. So I was reflecting I find that most challenging for me recently has been navigating fields where I personally lack expertise. So for example, recently I'm trying to use data science and machine learning modeling to accelerate materials development. And I particularly do not have a very rich background in statistics or data science or machine learning algorithms. So I found it challenging to make progress in that project because of lack of that experience. But then, you know, always challenges are an opportunity to grow, right? So I pursue it like that. And for me, that challenge motivated me to learn more about data science, do online courses, watch lots and lots of YouTube videos on, you know, Python and different machine learning algorithms, materials informatics. So I feel this challenge motivated me to learn and keep my skills up to date. So I feel for all engineers, I think you should, you know, do not stop learning. If you find yourself stuck in a new field where you're lacking expertise, grow yourself.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's some great advice there. Amy, what has been your most challenging experience as an engineer?
Yeah, I think the constant updating the knowledge is by far the most challenging and rewarding at the same time. As Charlene mentioned, that our industry, semiconductor industry, our customers always innovate. Every year they have new products and new designs. And so just to stay up to date, we constantly have to learn, update ourselves. At the same time, I think as the leader for our group, the other part is not only updating ourselves and also think about how to motivate our team so that we can make better team decision and motivate everybody to think differently, think out of the box, right? And to multiply our capability as a team to better solve a problem.
Right. And becoming an engineer, especially with the high positions you two hold, it's a very difficult thing to do. So who has been your greatest support? It could be a coach, a mentor, anyone in your career so far, and why or how have they supported you? Shalini, would you like to go first?
Sure. So personally, my parents have been my greatest support. And, you know, they have cheered me at every step of the way. And, you know, they instilled confidence in me that with hard work and perseverance, I can achieve anything that I want. So for sure, you know, my parents have been my greatest support. And, you know, it is this built-in support system that is absolutely critical to anybody's success. And I've been really fortunate to have had that.
Yeah. And Amy, who has been your greatest support through your engineering journey?
Yeah, I think I have many coach and supporter along the way, and they all played a very, very significant impact in my career development. If I think back as I went through my professional development, at every stage, there are different set of challenges, right? So for example, early in my career, I had a wonderful mentor to help me and to understand how to work cross-functionally to be more influential, to drive decision, right? Then later on, as I started having family, and I had a just wonderful mentor to help me to understand how to balance out work and life effectiveness. And so I think it's really come back to a Chinese saying, which is called "三人同行，必有我师." It basically means if you walk three people walking together, one of them will for sure become your teacher, right? And thinking back, I have so many teachers, so many mentors, just everything along the way, I have benefited from many teachers. And I think that's also, I would recommend to everybody just to open and curious, because whether it's through a formal mentoring or support, or just simply we run into somebody, we have so much to learn from each other.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm reflecting on my own question, and now I'm realizing that there are like definitely a number of people that continue to support me. And like, I'm just so thankful for, you know, my teachers and all my mentors that just continue to believe in me, because, you know, they encourage me to keep going and, you know, become a better version of myself. So I'm also very grateful for that. Yeah.
And to quickly add to that, Oindri, it is that I encourage everyone to seek mentors who can help them navigate challenges. And in my own personal journey, I have noticed that the mentors, they become your sponsors at some point. And then those sponsors also become your champions. So it is so critical to have the right mentors, you know, at every step of the way.
Yeah, and having a mentor that really just inspires you, and it like enlightens you. Like, I have so many mentors, and over the pandemic, I've realized what my passion is. So finding mentors and networking is like key to, I don't know, being successful. I know I'm only a high schooler, but with my podcast and everything and all the mentors and people that are there to support me, I had to go and network with them and talk to them. So yeah, I definitely agree with that. And when I was a freshman, I joined my high school robotics team. And to my surprise, I was the only girl. So until that moment, I never realized that there is a so-called gender gap in STEM. So what do you think are some of the main challenges women face in engineering professions? And if you have had any personal experiences, Shalini, please feel free to share them.
Sure. So as you said, Oindri, achieving gender parity is still an important goal that semiconductor industry still needs to achieve. And, you know, while women have made major workforce gains in the last several decades, we're still far from achieving anything close to an equitable representation of women. So that's definitely an area semiconductor industry needs to work very hard at. And, you know, personally, and when I say personally, it's not just my own experience, but after having spoken to my, you know, women colleagues at work. So I would say being a woman in a semi industry, I have noticed a few things should improve other than, of course, you know, pay and equitable representation. Now, even at like personality level, right? Women tend to have different personality than men. And also I have noticed personality traits are perceived differently. So for example, a very self-assured woman who is capable of speaking her mind could be termed as, for example, how should I say, bossy or
pushy.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And versus if a man is self-assured, is, you know, could be perceived as confident, somebody who holds the ground, is a go-getter, is able to achieve things despite, you know, differing opinions. So this perception of personality traits, I have noticed, needs improvement. So that's one comment I want to make. There are others, but I think this is a big topic, so I will let Amy talk.
Yeah, it's actually a really interesting point. I think many of us have heard the phrase of unconscious bias, right? Subconsciously, if we are exposed to something different and we have a natural tendency to bias towards something we're more familiar. And certainly women engineers as the minority of the technical community may face some of the challenges that you describe. For sure that many of the tech companies now are giving lots of training and about these type of topics to minimize the impact. So yeah, I totally agree with that. The other, maybe to add, looking at my personal experience, right? Look back in my career, I think my biggest challenge was just letting go the working mom guilt or maybe the perceived one even before kids, because there were so many points in my career, whether it's self-imposed or it's real challenge, right? I always doubt, can I have a successful career while being a mom? Am I giving my kids the best possible option if I spend so much time at work, right? And it's, there are many point, even a trivial decision, like how am I going to arrange transportation for my kids go to school if I have to go to work in the morning, right? Those can be a trigger point for women, including myself, to have self-doubt, right? And this was also a very common theme and story I hear from my colleagues and friends, because this can be a stressful decision. I think Charlene mentioned earlier about establishing support network, right? I think that was, if I look back, that's one of the really important lessons I learned is, you know, it's challenging for mom, but we're not alone in this, right? Make sure we rely, find the partners, life partners who are willing to share the responsibility and find our support network from extended family and friends to help us to navigate this challenge.
Yeah, definitely. So another main issue our society now faces is the nationwide chip shortage. So I have been seeing it everywhere from my TV to news articles. And a few weeks ago, in fact, my family friend was trying to get a new car. And so when he went to the car dealership, there were no cars. So I repeat, there were no cars for sale at the moment due to this shortage. And there's more. So when he tried to find out how much his current car would cost if he sold it, It was a few thousand dollars more expensive than the price he bought it for. So personally, I never thought that the price of a car would increase ever after it's sold, because as you know, the price of a car is supposed to depreciate as soon as it's sold and it leaves the parking lot of the dealership. So I know that chips can be found everywhere, from cars, computers, cell phones, so any electronic device. Since both JSR Micro and FormFactor work in and around semiconductors, how has this chip shortage affected your companies? Shalini?
Yeah, so we did receive emails from upper management and even at, you know, CEO level about the chip shortages. And the response in our company has been to increase resources so that, you know, JSR materials are not a, so that we don't turn out to be a bottleneck towards chip production. So that's what my company is doing, which is increase resources so that there are no glitches in supporting customer demand. Mm-hmm.
And Amy, how has the chip shortage affected FormFactor?
Yeah, it's I think the number one thing, just to connect to your personal point, is really now everybody, including our grandma or our friends' kids, all become known for semiconductor industry, which was not the case before. That's really interesting. I think it's fascinating to think that semiconductor industry is cool again, And as being an interesting career option for a university or a high schoolers to consider as a career path. So we thought that was really awesome. And demand wise, for sure, it has from industry wise, the shortage has created increased demand for semiconductor industry. I think as a whole, it's really good for suppliers or manufacturers in the supply chain. The challenge for all of us is really to do the supply chain planning, right? Because there's a shortage. So we need to make sure we plan ahead so we don't become a bottleneck. It's really teach us a lesson in terms of how to be more disciplined in terms of planning and have a longer view, work closer with the customers to create a better understanding of the long-term demand to plan for the supply side.
Yeah. So what are your companies doing to prevent something like this from happening again? So is it just like creating a new plan or becoming more organized or aware? I'm just curious. You can go first.
Okay. Yeah. You know, as Amy touched on, tightening the supply chain is, I think, all semi companies are looking into. Because you need to make sure you have solid backups for your suppliers. You want to make sure that your quality is not compromised. You know, if you have more urgent need of, for example, raw materials or other parts, you want to make sure that the quality is not compromised. So tightening your supply chain is something I know that all semi companies are looking into.
Mm-hmm. And Amy, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, just maybe add to that point. One is be smarter about managing the supply chain and also work with the customers to have a tighter projection, right? Forecast is always wrong, because if we can tell our future for sure, every forecast probably always have this error to it. So I don't think we can precisely project the future to prevent these type of gap from happening. But I think we can certainly tightening our forecast process to do a better job to prepare for the supply chain.
Makes sense.
Yeah. All right. So moving away from engineering for a little bit, what are your hobbies outside of work? Shalini, would you like to go first?
Sure. Yeah, thank you for asking that question. And, you know, overall, I'm interested in living holistically. And I'm very passionate about developing myself as a whole and complete individual. And I give a lot of importance to healthy eating, healthy lifestyle, maintaining an active lifestyle. I love cooking and I love being outdoors in nature, you know, spend quality times with my children. So yeah, that's what I do outside of engineering. I read a lot, I cook a lot, and I try to be outdoors as much as possible.
Do you enjoy hiking?
Or I do.
Yeah. So my family and I have like a national park pass, so we can miss any park in the United States. So I actually just came back from Yosemite a few days ago, and we did like this 10-mile hike all the way up to Yosemite Falls. I mean, hikes, they get tiring, but the views are definitely worth it.
Yes. And we're so lucky to be live so close to Yosemite. I was there last month as well.
Yeah. Yosemite is beautiful. And Amy, what are your hobbies outside?
I think we're going to become really good friends after this conversation. I love hiking myself. It's definitely I live very close to a local county park. And so throughout my day, I try to take a short break and do some short hikings along the in the neighborhood. Same thing for our cooking, because you know, as our day get longer, and I always make sure that I take plenty breaks, allow time to spend time with family. I have twins, so that's kind of our dedicated family time together. The other thing I find is very interesting to keep the sanity in life is golfing. It's a really nice social sport because it gives you a time to catch up with friends and colleagues. And also it's a really a good mind exercise because it's almost forced you to practice mindfulness when you play the game. Because if you don't clear your mind, you cannot focus to play the game. It's really a game just between you and the golf ball. So it's really helped you to stay focused and balanced to be away from your day-to-day work and reset your mind. So those are some of my hobbies in my spare time outside work.
Wow. Yeah, I've never tried golf, but maybe I should try it. Yeah, I think I've tried it before at like Golfland or something. Yeah, definitely. If you don't focus, it's very hard to get the golf ball into the, what is it called? The hole?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so next question. If you could travel anywhere, what place would you go to and who would you bring with you? Shalini, would you like to go first?
Sure. I remember going to Bali 4 years ago, and that place is just so beautiful, especially the mountains. So if you told me tomorrow I could fly to Bali, I would go there with my family, with my husband and my kids. Yeah, the beaches are beautiful, the mountains, the culture, the food. It's really a special place.
Mm-hmm. And Amy, where would you go and who would you bring?
Definitely with my family. My family really enjoy visiting different part of the world. So the next place is always a place we have not been to. And over the last few years, our family has been to various countries, including Europe, Asia, and we're really bummed out that we have not been able to visit different countries as a family. So we're looking forward to go back as the border opens again, just go to new places that we have not been to.
Yeah, I love traveling as well and seeing new places. That's like another one of my hobbies. I mean, obviously I can't just go out and get on a plane every 2 days, but let's twist this question a little bit. If you could go on vacation or travel anywhere, but you could only bring like a celebrity, or it doesn't have to be, or like anyone else, maybe not your family, who would you bring? I mean, maybe I can go first because I know this question requires a little bit of thinking and I have done that. So I love warm weather, especially if I decide to go on vacation. So I would most likely go to Bora Bora and bring along Andrea Meza. So she's Miss Universe 2021. And she stands out to me because not only does she participate in the arts, like she does pageants, obviously, but she also has a degree in software engineering, which I thought was super interesting. So I would love to meet her and learn about how she manages both pageants and her work as a software engineer. And she also seems like an amazing person to vacation with. So that too. All right. Amy, do you want to go next?
Sure. I'm a big football fan. I really like Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback. And so if I go on vacation, I would love to go to training ground to see how he practices. It's just fascinating, his leadership role, and also with the team, but also socially, he's really doing lots of volunteer and nonprofit to encourage kids and encourage people to achieve the best that they can be. So yeah, I would love to be on the training ground for football and with him to experience that.
Yeah, that would be really cool. And Shalini?
Yeah, I was, you know, debating between Elon Musk and because he's a celebrity engineer, right? To learn from him, how has he done such diverse things in his career and be successful at everything, you know, he does. So maybe I'll just stick to him. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Elon Musk is a good choice. Yeah. Okay, so let's go back into the field of engineering for the next few questions. What are both of your hopes for the future of engineering? Shalini, would you like to go first?
Yeah, I hope really a lot of women consider STEM as their career choice. And you know, I hear some high schoolers have this perception that most of the innovation is already done. Internet is there. Autonomous driving is coming. We've already reached the space. And, you know, social media is already mature. There's what's lacking. But I it's far from truth, right? I mean, there is no solution for global warming right now. There's no solution for plastic waste right now. And even for autonomous driving, it's not at a stage where, you know, it's completely autonomous, for example. So there's still a lot of innovation waiting to be unleashed. And I really hope a lot of, you know, smart men, smart boys and girls choose STEM as their profession. It's as Amy said, it's cool again to be an engineer.
Yeah, and I know that there are so many different choices based off of what you're interested in, right? Yeah.
Yes, certainly. Even in semiconductor, I know they, you know, people are saying Moore's Law is coming to an end, but that's what we've been hearing for last at least one decade as well. But the innovation doesn't stop. There, you know, there's demand for AI chips. There's demand for, you know, next transistor material beyond silicon. So there's still a lot of innovation waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm. And Amy, what are your hopes for the future of engineering?
Yeah, ditto everything Shalini just mentioned. And I think I hope that we can have more diversity in the engineering community. And from a company perspective, we can continue to create an inclusive work environment so that we can have more women to stay in the workforce. And but also from very early on in the pipeline perspective, high school, middle school, right? There's lots of study have shown in order to maintain a healthy pipeline of women engineer, we really have to start very early on, even in middle school, right? I think as a whole, our society can work through the entire life cycle of the talent pipeline, encourage more girls entering a STEM program early on, and also create an inclusive environment and also flexible work environment to encourage more women to develop career in our engineering field.
Exactly. Yeah, that actually leads into my final question. What is one piece of advice you would give to other young women that want to pursue or are currently studying engineering or STEM? Shalini?
Sure. My first piece of advice would be to know yourself. The better you know yourself, the better you're prepared to offer your unique gifts to the world. So self-knowledge is very important. Dream big and work hard to make those dreams a reality. And if you love math and science, sky is the limit. And, you know, develop grit. You know, grit is synonymous with mental toughness. And it's a quality that will help you persevere in the face of obstacles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great advice. And Amy?
I can agree more with everything Shalini just mentioned. Maybe just add one point is STEM study is basically set a foundation for future career growth. It's much more than just the technical competency. It actually, throughout the education, teaches you how to learn, how to be an excellent problem solver, how to build relationship, right? So as you go through a career later on, just keep your options open, because many of the career paths in technology companies require technical background or advantages to have a STEM education. Whether you want to become a business management like myself, made the career change, or you choose to stay, continue as an engineering discipline, right? So just enjoy studying STEM, because your possibilities are really endless.
Yeah. So that was some wonderful advice that I will definitely follow. And I just want to give a big thank you to Dr. Shalini Sharma at JSR Micro and Amy Leong from Form Factor for joining me to represent women in engineering on International Women in Engineering Day. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Audrey. Very glad to be here.
Same here. Thank you. Nice to meet you both.
I hope you enjoyed this special edition episode to highlight the importance of women engineers in today's world. Feel free to subscribe to my podcast and drop a review. I'll see you next time.